Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 402, 407, in the second stanza, with timbrel and harp and joyful acclaim, and with gladness and mirth sing praise to his name. For God in his people his pleasure doth seek. With robes of salvation he clotheth the meek. Two of 407.
The portion of God's word which we wish to read this morning, you can find in the first book of Moses called Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, as we can find in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, God had said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant in the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he sinned, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask the Lord for his help and blessing. We hope to remember in prayer this morning André van Driesten, who may come home from the hospital, also Rachel Oudshorn, who has to have day surgery this coming Wednesday in Calgary. Let us try to pray. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, we may in this morning pause for a moment on our journey to that great eternity, to take for a moment a little rest from all the labors, from all the cares, from all the concerns that are in this life upon our journey, and which can be so many, and which can trouble us. And thou givest yet in the midst of all the misery here below, yet a Sabbath day, a day when we may pause for a moment upon our journey, and that we may lay aside, if it is possible, all the cares of this life, and for a moment to consider from where that we have come, and unto where that we are going, how that we were created, and as we have read out of thy holy word, how deeply that we have fallen, and that redemption, and that thou proclaimest immediately unto our first parents, that they may receive hope in all their misery. Oh, that thou may look then upon each and every one of us. Wilt thou cause this day indeed to be a blessing for the need of our souls, that we may receive life from the dead, that we may receive a concern, and not alone in our mind, but a concern that may live in our heart, for our life, for ourself, as we are traveling to meet thee, at the end of our journey, for some a little longer, for others a little shorter. For some it shall be just yet a moment, a day, a month, a year, and a time will come. For others a few more years, and then we shall stand before thee, and we shall look upon our whole life, and all that has transpired shall come before us, be laid before us by thee. O Lord, for what shall we answer in that day? What answer shall we give to a thousand of thy questions? O bring them, Lord, even this day. O bring those questions to us, to our children. Where is God thy maker? O wilt thou bring unto us those questions, that we may consider what our state is, how deeply that we have fallen, that we may receive a cry unto thee, the living God, who is yet able and willing to deliver sinners from all their wretchedness, to forgive the chiefest, and to receive them into his bosom, into his communion. Oh, give then in this day a desire, a hunger, a thirst in the midst of us for the first time or by renewal, and do look upon each and every one of thy church. They are in a state of grace, but their condition in this morning hour that is known to thee. All thou knowest that it is a church that is oppressed, for thou sayest through much tribulation thou must enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, then there are those that are longing. There are those that are waiting. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior. He has proved. He only is my help and tower. I shall never be moved. O Lord, remember them, and give that hope and may be strengthened out of thy word by thy spirit in this very day. Do look upon us as a flock. Thou knowest, O Lord, all that is in our hearts. Thou knowest all that does take place also from day to day. All we ask of thee, Lord, that thou may remember us as a flock, and that thou thyself may bind us together, that we may storm thy throne of grace, and that thou mayest deliver us. Lord, wilt thou keep us from ourselves, for we are liable to destroy everything when left for one moment unto ourselves. But we ask of thee, who art the King of thy church, to look upon us in thy mercy. Remember us. Look on all the needy. We remember the young man who may come home from the hospital. His parents, oh, they may receive him, even as it were from the dead. They may receive him for a second time. Oh, they received him, Lord, from thee, when thou gavest him unto them in his birth. And now it is that thou givest him unto them again, as a young man in the sparing of his life. O Lord, humble the hearts of these parents, of this family. Remember this young man. Oh, when we are left to ourselves, it will be testifying against us in that last day. But may it be that this dealing may be for him to stop him upon his way. Oh, that thou would speak, Lord, that thou would bless, that thou would sanctify this calling. And may thou heal him further in all that is necessary in his body, in his mind, to protect him, also in all of his needs further. Remember also the young friend who must receive surgery in this week. Supply for her in all of her needs and all of her loved ones. Remember all the afflicted, all the old aged, all that are oppressed, all that are in need. We beseech thee that thou may show thyself as the living God. Look on us, Lord, in this morning hour, when we are to bring thy holy word. Oh, could it please thee to help us to lay aside all that does trouble us, and could it please thee to give the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive the gift from above to perform the calling to which thou hast called us, and could it please thee to bless and to sanctify this little portion in the midst of us in this morning hour for a needy, for a perishing soul in our midst. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 47, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home, Psalter 47, 1, 6, 7, and 9. Congregation, the words of our text can be found in that portion of God's word which was read to you, Genesis 3, and thereof the 21st verse. Genesis 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So far, the words of our text. The Lord God clothes Adam and Eve. First, a necessary unclothing, and second, a precious clothing. The Lord God clothes Adam and Eve. First, a necessary unclothing, and second, a precious clothing. And afterwards, with the Lord's help, to close with a few words of application. Congregation, last week we have entered into the weeks of Passion. Thus, the consideration of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then in a special way, his passive obedience, that is, his giving of himself in a willing way, that he may be a sacrifice. Where is the first sacrifice, children? Where is the first sacrifice that we read of in the Bible? Well, that was actually read to you already. We find that in the words of our text. What is it? And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Thus, and these are the first animals and that have in this world had to die. And they had to die because they had to be sacrificed for our first parents who slew these animals. That was the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean that the Lord has done this himself in a literal way. Perhaps then he has given instruction to Adam what he had to do. And yet it was by at least the command of the Lord. Thus these animals, they had to die. And who was spared? Adam and Eve. And what is then the purpose of the slaying of these animals? Well, that was that the Lord may give clothing. Thus they are not only spared from dying, but these animals, the sacrifice of these animals were to clothe those who had sinned. Did they not have clothing? Yes, they had clothing. What was their clothing, children? Well, that clothing we can read that they had on that was made of leaves, the leaves of a tree. They were, we read, fig leaves. Large leaves. Who gave them this clothing? Well, you say they did that all by themselves. That was their own thinking. That was their own ingenuity. They have ripped these leaves down from that fig tree, and they have sewn them together. And they have tried to wrap themselves in these leaves. Was that necessary? It had become necessary. They felt it to be necessary. Why? Because of sin. Because we read before this that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But there was congregation in the state of their innocence, the state of their innocence. And in the state of their innocence, they did not know any shame. That is like a little child, boys and girls, an infant. That little infant doesn't know any shame. We do not mean to say that a little child is without guilt. He is not innocent in that sense, no. But he is innocent in the sense that, well, boys and girls, you know that little baby, if he has no clothing on or if he has clothing on, that makes no difference to him because he does not know yet what shame is. He is still a little baby. Well, that state of innocence is now the state in which our first parents were created. But it was immediately after sin. Then what do we read? That the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What a change. What a change that sin has brought into this world. Suddenly, they lose their knowledge in the image of God. Their knowledge of God, to think they can now try to cover themselves before Him, that they can hide from Him. Fear now lives in their hearts. Guilt is now living in their conscience. They are now ashamed, never knew this before. They are now liable to punishment. What a change that sin has brought into this world. How foolish they must have looked. Do you not think so, too, young people? Donning these scanty fig leaves. Do you know how foolish you look, young people? When you walk with almost nothing on. When you try to reveal yourself, do you know then actually how foolish that you look? Do you know what we read about Aaron? When the children of Israel were serving that golden calf, then we read that Aaron made them naked unto their shame. And even that outward shame today we seem to be losing. That man is not ashamed even to walk naked in this world. And they sewed fig leaves together. Before whom are they ashamed? They are ashamed before God. That is in the first place. We will hear more of this. But they are also even ashamed before one another. Thus, they hide themselves from one another. Then we see how that sin that is breaking the most intimate communion even between a man and his wife. And they sewed fig leaves together. Congregation, what a foolish attempt to think that they are able to cover themselves before the Lord. And then when the Lord came, what then? Then we read, and they showed themselves fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Well, Adam and Eve, they have on these fig leaves. And yet when the Lord appears, then they have a living sense, then they have a living realization that those fig leaves, they are not able to cover them before the Lord. Do you realize that too? Has the Lord ever come, congregation, in your life? So that you begin to realize that all of those ways wherein you attempt to cover yourself before the Lord, they cannot cover you. What happens to all those coverings? One by one, the Lord, he is stripping those coverings away. Oh, then we feel something of the scantiness, of the emptiness of all of our efforts to cover ourselves before the Lord. Concerning our sin, our guilt, and our shame. May this congregation be experienced by each and every one of us before the day of our death. Because when this will happen at the day of our death, for the first time in our life, then it will be for us too late. And unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. If the Lord, children, if the Lord is now going to clothe Adam and Eve, then what does the Lord have to first do? Well, then first, you understand that. Then first, all those fig leaves, they must be taken away. Thus, they must first be unclothed. Will you remember that, children? That is so very, very important. Young people, this is so very, very essential. Will you remember this? When you will leave this place today, if you will only take this home with you as prophet, and remember this for the rest of your life, what is necessary for you and for me. That first, those fig leaves, they need to be removed. And there they stand. Then they are standing there naked. Before whom? Before the Lord. Did you ever stand naked before the Lord? Has the Lord ever taken away all of those fig leaves in your life? Our text that speaks about a rejection. It is a rejection of all the attempts of man to cover himself before the Lord. The Lord says, they are nothing. They are null. They are void. And I have first to come away. It is a rejection of Adam and Eve's wisdom, is it not? It is a rejection of their schemes. The Lord says here to Adam and Eve, your schemes, they are foolishness. It is a rejection of their work, which they have sowed together. It is a rejection of their efforts, which are worth nothing. It is a rejection of their idea of help yourself. Man can bring shame upon himself, but man cannot remove it. It is impossible. The Lord must decide what kind of clothing that is suitable to cover the shame of man. That is our second thought, a precious clothing. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Adam and Eve must receive their covering from the Lord. That is a gift from the Lord. That is, congregation, the very first gift that Adam and Eve have received from the Lord after their fall. Is that not a wonder? The Lord is providing here for his fallen creature. When it is so evident that his fallen creature does not know how to provide for himself. Did they ask for this? They did not. The help of the Lord that was unsought, the opposite, they fled from him. But the Lord is first. And the Lord sees his fallen creature in his great need. And the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming from his own side. And he is going to provide for his fallen creature. And what kind of clothing is he then going to give to them? Well, we read coats of skins. Thus, they are the skins of animals. Those skins, they are not like the fig leaves, are they, children? Just think about that for a moment. How long do you think those fig leaf clothes would have lasted for Adam and Eve? When you will take a leaf off of the tree, then soon that leaf is dried up. And very soon, all those fig leaves, they are going to be drying up and cracking and falling off. And they will have to try to make themselves new clothing over and over and over again. And what is the difference with that clothing that the Lord gives to Adam and Eve? Oh, you say, yes, this is different. Because the clothing that the Lord makes for them, that is a durable clothing. Those skins, those coats of skins, they're going to last Adam and Eve a long time. But in order to receive such a durable clothing, what had to happen to that animal? That animal had to die. That animal had to be sacrificed for the good of those who had sinned. Thus we have the first sacrifice. We have the laying of the foundation of the animal sacrifices, even in the beginning of the world. And the purpose of this death, the purpose of that death, that is to clothe. The purpose of this death, that is to cover. That is to cover the shame that our parents, they are there standing in. That is necessary. And why is it necessary? Because Adam and Eve, they cannot stand before the Lord in their shame. You say they were naked before. Yes. What is the difference now? Well, this nakedness now is no longer in the state of their innocence. And thus they are standing there in their guilt and shame before the Lord. And that is congregation impossible. That is impossible. And it is also impossible that the fig leaves would cover that nakedness, cover that shame before the Lord. Thus, if they will exist before the Lord, then they have to have a proper clothing. Paul, he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This is what the Lord is declaring here already in Genesis 3. That is, we would say, the most awful chapter of the Bible. That chapter of the Bible, after which we read of the beautiful and blessed creation of mankind in the image of God, that chapter in which is shown to us the depth of our fall, the loss of that image, the entrance of sin into the world and all the consequences of sin, a threefold death. The most awful chapter, we would say, in the Bible. And yet, congregation, it is the most blessed chapter in the Bible. Why? In this chapter, we have the first revelation of a new covenant. Of a new covenant. In this chapter of the Bible is the first revelation of the word grace. Grace. In this chapter of the Bible is the first revelation of the blessedness of the offices of the Son of God. In this chapter of the Bible is the revelation of the sacrifice, of the death, of the substitute, of the great glory of God, of the song of the church, which Boston says will be a pitch higher than the song of the angels. In this chapter of the Bible is the revelation of redemption. Then there is the promise. 15th verse, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and so on. And then, what does the Lord do? Then he shows what is necessary to take place in order for that redemption of his church to be realized. The Lord gives that promise, and then the Lord slays the sacrifice, and he takes those skins, and he makes clothing to cover the shame of those who have sinned. Congregation, what does the Lord say with this? The Lord says, no, Adam. No, Adam. You cannot bring yourself out of this. You can bring yourself into this, but you cannot bring yourself out of this. That is my work. All your efforts, I reject. But I will provide for you. I will give you that which will satisfy all of my demands. The provision that will come from my hand, and I will also apply it to you. I will strip you of all your efforts. I will strip you of all your work. I will strip you of all your wisdom until you stand naked in your shame. And then I will clothe you. And I will give you durable substance, durable riches, durable clothing, in which you will be able to stand before my face and enter again into that blessed communion with me. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 125, 1, 4, and 5. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter, 125. Congregation, Solomon said that he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Love covers a multitude of sins. What a different place the world would be if we could but only all together practice such a thing. To cover the sins of one another before others. John says, behold, let us love one another. For love is of God. On the other hand, the covering of sin, that is the most soul-destroying thing that you and I can do. And yet, we do it. We cover. We cover when we do not go to one another with a transgression, then we do not deliver our friend from his sin. We seek an outward peace and a relation, but we destroy his soul. We cover when we are also not honest with ourselves before God, before man. When we cover our sin, when we cover our mistakes maybe, our guilt, our foolishness. Why? Because we are ashamed. What does Christ say? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. The Lord Jesus does not cover the sin of his people. He does the opposite. He uncovers it. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. That is the work of the Spirit in the application of the meriting work, the suffering, the death of his only begotten Son of God, the sacrifice of that lamb, in order to apply it, then what does he do? He first uncovers. That is difficult. That is more difficult than the creation of this whole world. Why? Because in the creation of the world, there was no resistance. But we resist. You do not want to be uncovered. I do not want to be uncovered. We seek to cover and to cover and to cover. And what does the Lord do? Step by step, if he will be merciful to you and to me, he will uncover us. Difficult. Sometimes, therefore, that is taking many years. Saul was uncovered in one moment. In one moment. That is not so often. Often it is that the Lord is step by step. One sin, another sin. Working to uncover, that he may take away those fig leaves that we are sewing together, that we are wrapping around ourselves to hide ourselves from one another and to hide ourselves from God. And when the Lord is stripping them one by one, and the Lord is more and more setting death before our eyes, there is no other way. There is no other way. Because in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Let us pause for a moment. Let us ask ourselves for a moment, all of us together, how do we cover ourselves? How do we do this? What are our schemes? What are our inventions which the Lord must strip away? Well, I think, children, you can understand that. Did you ever do something wrong? And then your mother or your father, they said, "Did you do it?" And you said, "No." Said, "No." What is that? That is a lie. That's how do we cover ourselves, you and me. We cover ourselves with lies. For 22 years, the brothers of Joseph covered themselves with a lie. Father, he must have been slain by some wild beast. For 22 years, those brothers, they could not get out of it. For 22 years, they suffered. They suffered. They suffered. It came back again and again. They saw their father's sorrow. And they turned back and forth upon their beds in their night. But when they arose in the morning, they could not confess. Why? Because it does not lie in us. It was the work of whom? It was the work of Joseph. Joseph had to uncover them. That was difficult. Did not happen in one day. No, slowly, step by step, Joseph is working. And he has in his plan just where he wants to bring those brothers. Step by step to humble them. Until they come where? Until they come in that place where they say, "What shall we say unto my Lord? How shall we clear ourselves?" There was no way anymore. They stood there, naked, in their shame. All their fig leaves, they are stripped away from them. And then Joseph reveals himself. And then what does Joseph do with that sin that they lied about for 22 years? Oh, congregation, when Joseph stripped away all their cover, did he then condemn them? No. He forgave them. He forgave them. Oh, you see how Joseph covered them? How Joseph provided for them. Not fig leaves, no. But Joseph provided for them durable clothing. Those brothers, they now may go to sleep in their beds. certainly that has to come to Jacob yet. But in the end, Joseph is providing for his brothers a relief, the deliverance from their guilt, from their shame, durable clothing. What a wonder. Thus, Joseph uncovered them in his mercy. But there is also an uncovering of the lie in judgment. In judgment. How was their children with Ananias and Sapphira? Did the Lord uncover them? Yes. He uncovered them. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. And then, death. Cut off. And cast away. What a difference. One is in a day of grace to be uncovered, and one is at the end to be judged. How do we cover ourselves? Oh, we cover ourselves with our good works. With our good works. What are we going to do? We're going to make up for our sin. We will not confess it, no. We will cover it by doing good. We will actually do more good in our life than we have ever done evil. And so in our conscience, we will just try to cover it up and forget it. And if the Lord now leaves us in this way, do you know what we do? We climb a ladder. We increase and we increase as that rich young ruler until we are such a good person that God cannot but receive us. But congregation, if it is the Lord's work, then it goes in just the opposite way. Just the opposite way. Because then in this way, man is decreasing. The Lord is bringing man into death with his work. How do we cover ourselves? We cover ourselves even with our repentance. Do you see that man? He is going. He is walking. But it is nighttime. Why is he going, children, in the nighttime? Oh, he is going in the nighttime because he has tried to go to sleep, but he cannot go to sleep. And why can't he go to sleep? Well, he is tossing. He is going this way and he is going that way. And what is in his mind? And his mind is 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. What did I do? Oh, then it is so vivid, as it were, before me. What I have said to this person, to that person, what I have done. And then he cannot sleep. And then he is finally rising up. And he is going, and he is knocking, and he is saying, my friend, do you remember? His friend says, I don't remember. He says, I remember. I remember what I did. Will you forgive me? Oh, certainly. And then that man, he is going back again. And when it is of the Lord, then the next night, then he cannot sleep again. And why not? Because then there is something else. Then there is another person. And congregation, there is no end to this. Why is there no end to this? Because there is no end to sin. Read the life of Luther. And what is the Lord doing? The Lord, congregation, he is setting death. Death. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to them. Cursed, cursed, cursed. I have to die. I have to meet God. One sin that will condemn me forever. I cannot die, and I cannot meet God. Do you know what has to happen? Congregation, that death must take place. It has to happen. Because it is only death that is able to satisfy that justice of God. It is only that death that is now able to remove that curse. And therefore that people have no rest. They have no rest until when? Oh, congregation, until the Lord, when he has stripped the people, or until the Lord is revealing that sacrifice. The Lord is revealing that death. That the Lord is saying it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has made his soul an offering for sin. And when the Lord reveals this to such a man, to such a woman, oh, how can we describe to you what that people see? They see, congregation, a fountain, an open fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Now they see how it is possible for everything in one moment to be completely forgiven. For everything in one moment to be completely wiped away. This people begin to long. Oh, they begin to look to him. They begin by faith to long to be washed in him, to be cleansed by him. They don't have it yet, no. They have seen it. They have seen it. They have seen what grace is. Grace over against the works of man, which have become for them impossible. When the Lord has stripped away their wisdom, when the Lord has stripped away their strength, when the Lord has stripped away their righteousness, oh, then the Lord is revealing a sacrifice, a blessed sacrifice. Then there are moments in the revelation of that mediator that the people, they cannot see a single sin. They cannot see it. Why not? Because the psalmist said, my sin is covered. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, then it is that they see the greatness of that sea of blood, and then they may see that all those enemies, they are lying there because of that sea, dead upon the seashore, in themselves guilty, filthy, polluted. I am black, but clothed. I am black, but comely. Not with their own fig leaves anymore. No. Not with their own provision anymore. No. That is taken away. But do you know what they experience? With our first parents, unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Congregation, that sacrifice that is done, that sacrifice that is slain, he is slain even, we read, from the foundation of the world. Now it is as if those skins from that sacrifice, they're laying there. They're laying there. Because that lamb has been slain. And the Lord, he has prepared skins. He has prepared durable clothing that is laying there. That is presented also to you. Those skins. That durable clothing. What does it need? All it needs is a naked sinner. A naked sinner. That has been stripped. It needs someone who has no more wisdom, who does not know how to make it right between God and his soul. Is that your case? It needs someone who has no more strength, who has tried everything, and who cannot rip away the transgression and the sin from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises and putrefying sores, and there is no hope. Like David, who tried to cover and cover and cover, and Nathan says, "Thou art the man." Then he was all uncovered. Then the Lord says that he has also put away the sin of David. Such people here, for whom those skins this day are fitting, they're free. You know what the Lord Jesus says of his skins? He says, I counsel thee to buy of me raiment, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness will not appear. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who art a wonder-doing God, we may acknowledge thee for thy help in this morning hour to speak a few simple words. Could it please thee to uncover us, all of us, that we may stand in our shame, and that thou may cover us with durable clothing. Look on us, bring us safely home. Forgive our iniquities. Bring us with desire to thy house in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. 143, 2 and 3. Against thee only have I sinned, done evil in thy sight. Lord, in thy judgment thou art just, and in thy sentence right. Behold, in evil I was formed, and I was born in sin, but thou wilt make me wise in heart. Thou seekest truth within. 2 and 3 of 143. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.